Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, India is called the pharmacy of the world. But the news that 66 children in the West African nation of Gambia may have died after consuming Indian cough syrups has created ripples around the world, with the World Health Organization making it clear that the death of the children was linked to syrups made by Maiden Pharmaceuticals, a company established in the 90s. What do we know about this company? What is their history? Are they accepted in all states in India? What about the role of the regulator? Now, before we start this program, we did reach out to this company. We've emailed them. We've invited them to be a part of the show. They have not responded, but we're going to go ahead because the questions being raised are serious. In India, while an investigation is on now, government sources say the World Health Organization didn't share labels and batch information with the drugs body, and that the drugs should have been trialed in Gambia before they were used. Now, these arguments offer no answers, none at all, on how something like this could have happened. Now, we happen to have a fantastic panel this evening, and I would urge you all to watch, because when it comes to our health, when it comes to the pharma industry, when it comes to safety standards and the role of the regulator, it's a life and death issue. We have seen so many children dying in Gambia. We'll bring you details on how many have died in India as well in the past. On this program, Dinesh Thakur and Prashant Reddy, who have just come out with a book called The Truth Pill, where they look at the myth of drug regulation in India. Later on the program, I'll be joined by Priyanka Pulla, someone I consider one of the finest journalists in India, writing on pharma issues, health and safety. But let me go across first to you, Mr. Thakur. I think what parents, what everybody wants to know, because these are children who've died, are these cough syrups available in India presently?
I do not know. I mean, the ministry has put out a very confusingly worded letter saying that they haven't given permission to for this company to sell in India. That doesn't actually answer the question, because, no. You know, if you have permission to manufacture, you have permission to sell in India. I think the ministry should categorically come out and say whether they actually have given permission for this company to market these drug cough syrups in India. I do not know.
Okay. Second question again to you, Dinesh Thakur, is this, and we need to talk about this. What is diethylene glycol and what is ethylene glycol? Basic question. Let's break down the science first.
Sure. So when you make medicine, right, how does it take the form of, for example, a tablet? How does it take the form of a capsule? Some medicines have to be administered as syrups, especially for young children who cannot swallow a capsule or tablet. You have to make it in liquid form so that you can administer them easily, right?
Yes.
How do you get the consistency in that syrup, right? So what these are, what are called excipients. These are things that are inert, that allow, you know, drug manufacturers to formulate their medicine in a way that they can be administered. Most medicine, you know, most chemicals are very, very tart tasting. How do you make them taste like a sweet cherry so that you can give it to kids? Well, you add a sweetener. How do you make it look like, you know, an appetizing liquid that kids want to consume? You add a colorant to it. These are all called excipients. Ethylene glycol is one of those. Now, the point here is that, you know, this is not the first time this has happened in our country. This is the fifth time that we're seeing in India. No, this is Gambia. We had one 2 years ago where a similar
mistake. In fact, hold that thought. I want to bring up that graphic. Let's list the number of cases where this has come up in India. And I've taken this data from your book as well. So let's bring up that graphic on drug poisoning incidents in India. Let's bring that up, drug poisoning incidents in India, because the point we want to make on this program right now is that there have been at least five major drug poisoning incidents in India. Let's bring that graphic up, please. The first one in 1972 in Chennai, 15 children died after consuming a cough syrup. The cough syrup was adulterated with diethylene glycol. 1986, Mumbai. 14 patients died after consuming adulterated glycerine. Glycerine has been adulterated with diethylene glycol. In 1988, 11 patients killed, again, poisoning as a result of diethylene glycol. In 1998, Gurgaon, 33 children aged 2 and 6 years killed. The cough syrup was found adulterated with, again, diethylene glycol. 2019, Jammu, 9 children died due to an adulterated cough syrup. This is all from their book, The Truth Pill. And before I come back to you, I want to talk a little bit more about DEG, as it's known, diethylene glycol, because, you know, we need to inform people. Let's have that graphic up on what is diethylene glycol. What is diethylene glycol? It is a powerful industrial solvent used to make brake fluid or used in brake fluid. It never is used in the manufacture of medicine. It shouldn't be. Why? Because it is fatal if consumed by humans. It causes kidneys to fail. That can eventually lead to death. All right. So that's what I've got from the book as well. Let me go across to Prashant Reddy. You know, Mr. Reddy, what the government says, now, what government sources say, because these are unnamed, and that's deeply problematic by itself, unnamed sources, keeping that aside for a moment, government sources say this drug should have been trialed in Gambia. Why are you necessarily blaming only us? Is that answer remotely tenable?
That is absolutely not true. When drugs are manufactured in India, they are presumed to have been manufactured in regulated facilities by the Indian government. And when they are exported, there is absolutely no requirement. Most countries will not test the drugs prior to use. Having said that, there is a practice within government agencies in India, because they have no trust in the regulatory process, wherein they do test some batches now and then, but even that is not done consistently. But internationally speaking, once a drug comes from one country to another country, there is no practice of testing the drug for quality. It's presumed that the national regulator of the exporting country has done a good enough job to ensure that the drug is safe.
Now, Mr. Thakur, the other response from government sources is that state drug controllers issued the manufacturing license, in this case, Haryana. So, you know, sort of pass on the blame. But again, that's untenable because they weren't the only authority. Not if you want to export a drug.
Of course. Export, the permission to export a drug is under the remit of the central government, Central Drug Control Regulator, the CDSCR. So, pawning this off on the state drug regulator, this is a tactic that we've seen many a time. You know, we've seen exactly this happen when those 11 children died in Jammu. You know, it was essentially said that, oh, it's a problem with the Himachal Pradesh drug regulator. Go talk to them, because they're the ones who gave permission for them to manufacture this drug. See, this is one of the issues that we have, right? India is one market, but we have a drug regulator for every state and the 8 union territories we have. A drug that's manufactured in Himachal Pradesh can very easily travel to Tamil Nadu and Karnataka within the span of a week. And God forbid, if the drug actually is adulterated, is substandard, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, a drug regulator, a drug inspector in Kerala, in Mizoram, in Tamil Nadu can do anything about that drug that's manufactured in Himachal Pradesh.
Okay.
This is a jurisdictional issue.
Mr. Reddy, you know, I was going through Mr. Thakur's tweets, so in fact, either of you can answer, but this question is to you, Mr. Reddy. This particular company, according to Mr. Thakur's tweets, has been blacklisted in Vietnam and in several Indian states. Is that right?
It was blacklisted in Vietnam. In other states, samples tested as not of standard quality, because of which certain action was taken. I think Bihar state...
Jammu and Kashmir also, I believe, right?
Yeah. So states by themselves cannot blacklist manufacturers. But if there is, for example, the Bihar agency, which was procuring for public hospitals in Bihar, they have the capacity to blacklist only for their agency. So that's one of the big problems, because individual states cannot stop drugs from flowing across borders. So if you have one state that is a bad actor, so for example, Himachal Pradesh is one of India's largest manufacturers of pharmaceuticals because of an excise-free policy. But the Himachal Pradesh state government does not have an incentive to strongly regulate the industry, because then it loses investment, employment taxes, etc. So there is a competition between different states on how exactly to attract investment for the pharma industry. And going slow on regulation is one of the tactics.
Right.
That is one of the many problems. The other problems is, if I can continue, that is, the other problem is most states don't look at drug regulation as a priority area, and they often lack funding to set up the kind of sophisticated infrastructure that is required. You need labs with high-end machines. You need highly trained inspectors, et cetera, et cetera. And that incentive is just not there for a lot of state governments.
You know, Mr. Reddy, the point we need to talk about is also the role of the regulator, not just, you know, in terms of the international context of Indian drugs being exported. The national drug regulator provides a certain assurance on drugs which are sent outside. It's called something called COPP, as I understand it, a certificate of pharmaceutical product. That's a stamp. That's essentially a permission, right? It says that this has been inspected and that it's been cleared for export. So therefore, when India says that we are the pharma capital of the world, and we may well be, what does it say about our regulation that we have said okay to drugs which are found to be poison?
Well, basically, that means that something is not working. And this has been a problem that goes back to when Dinesh blew the whistle at Ranbaxy. When Ranbaxy went and pled guilty before American courts, saying that, yes, we did fabricate data, et cetera, et cetera. We didn't see any action in India. And this has been a consistent problem. We have seen scandal after scandal happening, and the regulator never takes any action. And there's a systemic issue behind that, Vishnu. And that is because the government of India has always put the growth of the pharmaceutical industry over and above public health. Because India doesn't have many high-tech manufacturing industries that it can boast about. The pharma industry is one of them. And the Ministry of Commerce, we have seen the Ministry of Commerce, for example, come out defending the pharmaceutical industry even when the pharma industry has behaved extremely badly. For example, after the Ranbaxy guilty plea in the federal court in the U.S., the Ministry of Commerce came out with a press release saying that there are vested interests trying to attack the integrity of the pharma industry. And that's not the only time. We've seen other such attacks.
And that's a huge problem, because if this becomes an issue of national pride, and then how dare you question us? And, you know, this is science. It's science and it's safety, and therefore it's common sense. But if you put in emotion and national pride into this, then, you know, I mean, it's a lost cause almost. It's almost as if you're trying to convince yourself that nothing has gone wrong when, in fact, these children have died. The WHO has come out with a statement. Because now on social media, you'll have people commenting on the WHO that they're useless, they're of no use to us, they are anti-Indian, they're Western. Right, we must give up our colonialist mindset. This is the fear, isn't it?
If I can add a line to that.
You want to add a few adjectives? Go right ahead.
In 2016, Dinesh had approached the Supreme Court in a PIL, asking for reforms of many of these systems, and the former Drug Controller General of India is on record in an interview to Reuters, basically questioning Dinesh's nationalism. And saying that, you know, this
Dinesh has been called anti-national, those famous words. It's okay, Dinesh, you're in good company over there. Look, I want to thank you both for joining us, and I invite you to stay on in this conversation, because I think you may have, you may want to listen in and comment if you wish. We've got Priyanka Pulla with us, Dr. Gopal Dabade, who is a member of the All India Drug Action Network with us, and we've got Alok Vats of the BJP as well. Priyanka, I think one of the most shocking things is that if a company in India, a pharma company has been found to have made a mistake, the fines which are given, a few thousand rupees, mean nothing to them. And therefore, there is no punishment which is realistic. They get away with murder.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So there is a sort of a gradation for the kind of punishments which drug regulators give to manufacturers. And substandard drugs are sort of at the very low end of the scale, right? If it's a failure in let's say the active ingredient is, let's say, you know, in a paracetamol tablet, you need to have 90% of it has to be the paracetamol active ingredient, but it is lesser than that much. That is often not even punishable by, you know, it can be taken to court, but a lot of drug regulators don't even do that, right? All yep. they will do is suspend the license of the manufacturer to make the drug for, say, 45 days or a month or so. So that's all that happens, okay? It's only in cases like this where the manufacturer might be taken to court, but I reported about the Digital Vision case, which happened in 2020, where 13 children had died in, you know, Jammu and Kashmir and Badi. And it turns out that that case did not even begin in the right earnest till 2 years later. So right. the state regulator did not even file a charge sheet to get the case started until this year. So, and the manufacturer continues to make all their products except those which contain propylene glycol. So nothing's happening. I mean, the manufacturer is out there making drugs, even though you know that they had a product with some 34% diethylene glycol, which killed 13 children and maybe more. So,
and yeah. I think what's really sad and what's really unfortunate is that, you know, this is not something that's new. This has been going on in India, and we have that graphic from the 70s. You know, this same drug is something which is, the same chemical rather, is something which has caused so many deaths. Dr. Gopal Dabade, who is accountable or who is responsible for this? Who is responsible for batch testing? Should there not be a consistent practice in India? Does that at all take place?
Yeah, thank you very much, Vishnu, for inviting me for this. Yeah, I think you have really touched the very touchy corner now. I think our regulatory system is very weak. And most unfortunately, it is not properly staffed, adequately staffed. There aren't enough adequate staff members. And the worst point is that there is no uniformity throughout the country. For example, a drug regulatory authority in Kerala will have different standards, whereas a drug regulatory authority in Gujarat will have different standards with regards to testing, say, for example, dilution, distribution, and things like that. This is very unfortunate. So what really needs to be done is that the system needs to be revamped. And as you rightly said, this is not the first time this is happening. Let us, we should all remember Justice Lentin, Bhaktavar Lentin, who gave out a wonderful report called the Lentin Commission Report on what happened to the JJ hospital deaths in JJ Hospital, where several patients died because of the contamination of diethyl glycol, and many of them were on treatment for kidney problems.
Yes.
And this was a very voluminous report, and it had gone rigorously into what the problem was. The exact question that you're asking today, why is this happening? Is this because of bureaucrats? Is it because of our politician? Is it because of our value system in our society? There are so many things which have added up to all this. And I think the then health minister, he committed suicide, or he died of heart attack because the report was so strong and so vigorous on these very aspects. And as you rightly said, this is not the first time that this incident has happened. And even in Himachal Pradesh, there was one more incident that happened just a couple of years back, that is Digital Vision, company by name Digital Vision, where again, this diethyl glycol poisoning had happened. Now, all these deaths are preventable. All these deaths are preventable. It is all because of the failure of the regulatory mechanisms.
You know, I just wanted to go back to Priyanka before I go across to Alok Vats. Priyanka, do we know whether these drugs are being sold in, these cough syrups are being sold in India, perhaps by another name?
So the Ministry of Health has just put out a press release saying that none of these cough syrups were licensed for sale in India. I think they were talking about there are some four implicated brands or more than that, and they're saying these are not licensed for sale here. But I just want to point out that that does not put the Indian products made by this company in the clear, okay? And I'll tell you why. Now, if a company has somehow managed to get diethylene glycol in its cough syrup, it means its manufacturing processes are completely chaotic, okay? Because keeping the diethylene glycol out of your cough syrup is like a very basic thing to do. There are like tons and tons of measures in place. I mean, there's something called good manufacturing practices.
Yes.
If you use certain high-risk solvents like propylene glycol, glycerin, you have to test them. That's part of the law. So all those rules already exist. So if despite the existence of all those rules, if you manage to get diethylene glycol in your product, it means you're doing something really, really wrong. So even if they were not making this product for the Indian market, the regulator needs to go to their factory, the plant, and see what kind of manufacturing practices they had in place, because this taints all their products.
Yeah.
So the Ministry of Health's dismissal, saying that these products are not sold in the country, I think it's a bit too quick and a bit too glib, because, I mean, this is a big deal. You don't get diethylene glycol in your product by mistake. That doesn't happen. This is the most
well-known
adulterant.
You know what, yeah. Priyanka, I've got, you know, messages coming in from parents who are asking, what cough syrup do I give my child now? How does one answer that question? I mean, how does Dr. Dabate, how would you like to take that? Cough syrup does a parent give their child, or does a doctor recommend to a child?
A very, very nice question and very important question for all parents. Most cough syrups that are in our market are unscientific. Let us be honest about it, because they contain a mixture of cough suppressant, cough expectorant, and a mixture of one which dilutes. So this actually confuses the body. And the cough is a normal reflex phenomena which is trying to bring out the phlegm which is there in our lungs. Unless it becomes very severe, and unless it becomes very problematic, by which there are other mechanisms to remove that. But these cough syrups do not answer the problem.
No, they are essentially suppressants. And
yeah, there are some,
and they bring some relief. No, but I understand your concerns about administering cough syrups. I am only concerned about on this program on the safety of them. So if when parents write and they say, what cough syrup is safe for my child then? I mean, irrespective of how well it works, from a safety standpoint, how does anybody know?
Yeah. If my child were there, I would have just given it a sip of honey or something like that, which it can absorb and take it in the saliva, but not this, because it contains codeine, which is
Priyanka, does
not
DG
good.
Get put into any other drug that you are aware of?
So there are a whole bunch of solvents used in this industry. There's propylene glycol, there's glycerin, there's mannitol, there's sorbitol. All these are basically what you dissolve the drug in, right? Now, any of them are vulnerable to DEG contamination. DEG doesn't get put in any of them. It's a contaminant. And I'll tell you exactly how it happens. So propylene glycol is this viscous, mildly sweet solvent. Diethylene glycol looks very much like that. So let's say a manufacturer is not careful or is unscrupulous and is trying to sort of save some money. They may end up mixing them up because DEG is cheap but toxic, whereas propylene glycol is expensive but what you want to use.
Yep.
So there are tons of solvents, and they're used in many products, by the way. These solvents are used in multiple products. They're all vulnerable to diethylene glycol contamination, and therefore we have a lot of measures in place to prevent that from happening. It's like all other manufacturers who are selling you cough syrup which doesn't have DEG are implementing those measures all the time.
Sure.
So,
Alok Vats, we pride ourselves in this country as being the pharmacy of the world, and then something like this takes place. Should there be more accountability in the government on how our drugs are exported, number one, and number two, what exactly is happening in India? Do we have any real idea?
Som, let me tell you one thing. After hearing all these experts, as a citizen of this country, I have taken a vow not to give my children any of these cough syrups anymore. I will go for Ayurveda or homeopathy. May it take 5 days or 6 days, but after hearing...
You know, sir, when you said that, Priyanka's eyes nearly popped open, because you need to be aware of additives in homeopathic drugs as well. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Watts, for raising that question. Who actually tests for additives in homeopathic drugs?
There are not so many side effects we have learnt about homeopathy. Maybe there is.
Priyanka, what is the science and what are the findings of additives in homeopathic medicines?
I mean, so it mentioned homeopathy. He also mentioned Ayurveda. I'm talking about all these traditional systems of medication, medicine, and regardless of what they were originally intended to be, these are very poorly regulated in the country today. So we're talking about DEG in cough syrup at an international level. It's caused such a furor. You don't even know what they're putting in these Ayurvedic drugs because nobody's even looking at them. Okay, and I'm talking about manufacturing issues, not about the maybe even if the drug, assuming the drug is useful. I'm just saying, if you think modern medicine is not very that well regulated in this country, I mean, Ayurveda and homeopathy is a black
hole. Are not regulated at all.
Let me tell you one thing. In that case, for cold and cough, I'll go for Dadi ke Nuske. Since you have told me that even the other drugs are not regulated, and let me come to the point now after hearing all the experts and on this issue. Yes, there is one thing very sure, that these regulatory bodies, these organizations need to be tightened and need to work. Whether it comes to sweets, whether it comes to clothes, whether it comes to drugs, whether it comes to any eatables, everything is contaminated. There's a guy who came 15, 20 years ago to India, a very learned person. He was an atheist. And when he was going back, the people asked him, people like you, sir, what is your opinion about this great India? He said, the God exists.
One sec. I don't understand the link with India, sir. We want to be proud of our country by doing it right, not just proud of our country.
Let me finish it. He said the things you eat, the drugs you take, the traffic in which you travel.
One second.
The hospitals which you go in, and you are still very healthy. That means God is regulating you.
All right. Look, I am wrapping this up right now. Not quite sure where you went with that point, Mr. Watts, but we'll debate this again. I think there's a very serious issue that we need to look at. And I think we'll do a lot more of that, at least on this channel, from all of us here. Good night.